for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and lhbconline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This was a Saturday afternoon service of December the 30th, 1995, the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. The coffees are the speakers for the evening.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Am I on? I'm on. The microphone's on. And we're ready. Praise the Lord. Well, glory. The Lord is good, isn't He? All the time. All the time. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to share a little bit this afternoon on the blood of Jesus. I want to go through all the way through, if the Lord will, and what we have in the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know, we really need to know and appropriate it, because it was all shed for you and I. And I just praise the Lord. The Lord is so faithful. And as I told you yesterday, we had this little thing on our door that said, everyone that enters this house is covered with the blood of Jesus. So, if you will, we'll begin. Open your Bibles in Genesis chapter 9. Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for Jesus. We just thank You for all that You've done for us, all You're doing for us, and all that You're going to do. But Lord, we just praise You this afternoon. We thank You for the week we've had, Lord, to hear and to receive and to be blessed. And Father, we just give all the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we bind the enemy over this place, around us, and under the ground. And we bind principalities and powers and rulers and kings and thrones and dominions and wicked spirits in heavenly places. We ask, Father, that You just give us hearing ears now and seeing eyes and an understanding heart, that the Word will really become flesh within us and become alive in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I said I was going to share something before I started. We do deliverance. We believe, which I believe strong in deliverance. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and wicked spirits. And so we've got to always remember that. So I want to share a little bit. Because when we go into deliverance, we want to go after some of the spirits in the area where I want to share before I get into my sermon. And I'll try to be real quick. There are many people that we're ministering to today that are under the curse of incest, that have been molested, either by a member of the family or a friend or somebody. But I want you to know that this spirit of incest and abuse and child abuse that comes through this molestation opens the door for a ruler spirit to come in. I'm going to tell you about this simply because I have dealt with a girl. In fact, I've dealt with two girls that are in our church today. One was molested when she was 4 years old, and one was molested when she was two. And, you know, each one that I have dealt with in this area, when we go after this spirit, it always tells us that it has a legal right to be there. Of course, it doesn't. And because of blood sacrifice. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, and I'm trying to see how I'm going to say this. When a man and woman become one, they become joined one together, they become one flesh. But then the father expects men to protect their children, to be a covering for their children. And that's the bonding, you know, we're always hearing about bonding, and we've got to have the bonding. But when that is broken, when a child is abused sexually, then the bonding is broken, they're open, there's no covering for that child. This one girl that I have dealt with for a while, her life was hell till we found out what the problem was in her. She was on drugs. It led her into drugs and, what's the word I want, going out looking for love through... Promise, yeah, that's it. everything under the sun. And she couldn't love, she got married and couldn't love her husband. She couldn't love her children. And it was just building up. And she'd been to doctors and taken all kinds of drugs, been to all kinds of preachers that had prayed over. One preacher told her, you just don't read the Word enough. And take my Bible, read it, it'll help you. And all these kind of things, but no one was doing anything to really help her. And she came to our church. She's in the Methodist church, and she came to our church to just for the praise and worship one night we were having it. And she received the Holy Spirit when she was there. And on her way home, a spirit in her manifested. And they brought her back to us. She had received the Holy Ghost, and this thing manifested in her. Well, to make a long story short, she began coming to our church, and well, she came to our house for a long time to get deliverance. And we've been doing deliverance on her, just, you know, casting out, unwrapping, as Jesus said, unwrap. And as I said yesterday, I think I said yesterday, that it's kind of like peeling an onion, you take off a layer of time. But when we got down to the root, now hear me, when we got down to the root, that thing, when that child was 4 years old and was abused sexually, and it was by her father, that she went to her mother and told her mother would not believe her. And her mother whipped her because she said, you lied. And so it didn't happen just once. I don't know how many times it happened. But the child, the way this, the demon came in, this child had no comfort. She had no one to comfort her. So she would go hide in her closet. She would hide from her mother, and she would hide. The girl began to remember this as we were doing deliverance on her. And she would hide in this closet, and she'd say, God, why did... She was in church, and she knew about God. She'd stomp her foot, and she said, why did you not protect me? Why did you not help me? Why? And while she was in this closet, there came a voice to her and said, I love you. I'll protect you. And this thing entered her in that closet. And it was written, she wrote it on the wall in her own blood, where the blood, she had blood running down her legs, and she had written it on, sealed it on the wall in blood. The child did not know what she was doing. She was a child, but she had no one to protect her. But this thing in her drove her all her life. She came in as a comforter, a familiar spirit. I don't know what he was. The spirit of destruction came in, and it had driven her all her life. She could not even love her own children. But when we got it out, she used to come to me and she'd say, I don't know who I am. She said, I am so messed up. I don't know who I am. I learned a lot of deliverance on this girl. I got thrown into it just by in a prayer meeting. When we had a prayer meeting and spirits began to manifest in our prayer meeting, we didn't know what to do with them. But that's neither here nor there. But I want you to know that this blood was put on the wall of the closet of that home. And when we went to get this thing out, we had, the house was still in their family. In fact, her mother and father were still living in the house. And we just asked the Lord to send angels over there to cleanse that closet, to remove the blood. But through that blood, see, there was a broken bonding that should have been between her and her folks was broken. And she was, and it was just open, that she was opened up for the enemy to come in. Now, I shared this to tell you that we're going to go into deliverance when I get through on some curses, things on the blood. And if I find so many people, not only women, men too, that have been molested. And through the spirit of incest and all of this, if forgiveness is so necessary. She has forgiven her father. In fact, she helps her father right now. But for a long time, she couldn't have anything to do with her father. But her mother died, and she's neither here nor there, but she's helping her father now. But God allowed her to love him, but she's been healed of all of this. But it all came through deliverance as we were getting her free from the things that have been, you know, that was came in through this act. And if this is why I told you that we run get some real hard cases, because these things are so. Have gotten such a hold. For instance, that thing had been in her since she was 4 years old, and she didn't know what it was. And when she would go to people to try to get help, they would literally take her to a psychiatrist and say she was, you know, losing her mind and this, things like this. But I praise the Lord for what has happened to this girl through deliverance.
Yes, hallelujah.
Okay? Now, I said that. I said, I want you to know that when we go into deliverance, if you, nobody has to know your problem. If you've had that happen to you, start commanding that thing out of you when we go to call in the spirits out. Because we're going to call incest and rape and murder and all of this out when we get through, okay? Because I know, without a doubt, that a lot of people have had this problem. It is real. You see, the thing was that she always thought it was her fault. She did something wrong to cause that to happen to her. And I find this with most people that have been abused. They always think it's their fault. And it's not. We had a real hard time getting her to understand that it was not her fault. So, praise the Lord. The Lord takes care of it. And I felt the Lord has told me to share that. And there must be someone here that needs to hear it. So, in Genesis in chapter 9 and verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea, and unto your hands are they delivered. And every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herbs have I given unto you, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require, and at the hand of every man, and at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by him shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And you be fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundance in the earth and multiply therein. God said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And he said you're not to eat it, and you're not to, he said, even the every beast, he says, I will require it, and at the hand of man and at the hand of every man's brother. You know, he said if a person, you know what the scripture says, an eye for an eye, and that was in the Old Testament when he said when someone killed someone, the penalty was death. And so God said here, he said, the life of all flesh, animals, everything, when the blood goes out, they die. Go to Leviticus chapter 3. Praise the Lord. I tell you, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever.
Hallelujah.
In Leviticus in chapter 3, in verse 17, God said, it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings that you eat neither fat nor blood. And you know what perpetual means? It says always, eternal, everlasting, and without end. That we're to eat no blood nor fat. And then over in Leviticus chapter 7 and verse 23. Spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, ye shall eat no manner of fat, or of ox, or of sheep, or of goat, and the fat of the beast that dieth of itself, and the fat of that which is torn with beast may be used in any otherwise, but ye shall in no wise eat of it. In other words, you can make anything out of fat, but don't eat it. Now, I can't imagine about one eat it, but some people do like fat. My father was one that ate fat. He liked fatback. Some kind of pork or something.
Pork skin. The lining of the belly.
Yuck. Excuse me. I can't stand fat on anything. And God said, don't eat it. But I had to break curses off of me and off of my family from the eating of the fat. And he said, for whosoever eateth the fat of the beast of which man offers an offering made by fire unto the Lord, even the soul that eateth it shall be cut off from his people. Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Whatsoever soul it is that eateth any manner of blood, even that soul shall be cut off from his people. You know, as I was reading this and studying this, I love to teach on the soul. I do a lot of teaching on the soul. And I thought, Lord, if people eat blood, when he says here, Even that soul shall be cut off from his people. Does that give the enemy a right to come in and take part of the soul? I mean, I'm just throwing that out. He doesn't say that, but I wondered that because, you know, so many times that it does. I was listening to a tape just a little while ago of Tommy's that he told on soul tie, Tommy Cook, and I thought it was real interesting. He was talking about how the soul gets fragmented. But anyways, God is saying here that we're not to eat the blood and we're not to eat the fat. And we need, I know the other day Glenn went over some of this, but I'm going a little further with it, Lord willing, and it's all scripture, to show you that the blood, we all know the blood is shed for us. But God was telling his people, don't eat it. That's the life of an animal. The blood is the life of us. And we're to eat and not anything that it has blood in it. You're looking at me like, well, I don't eat blood. I bet you eat rare meat sometimes. I know people like their steaks just run across the grill. And I'm not me, boy. And I've seen people eat, I didn't see this. Someone told me that someone in their family, and I cannot remember who it was, liked to eat raw hamburger meat. And I see, the first time I ever ran, I think, I don't know whether I shared this here or not, but the first time I ever ran into anyone that had eaten blood was an elderly lady that she made blood puddings for her husband and blood sausage. And I don't remember some of the other things she said she fixed. And I looked at her and gagged and I thought, I don't even want to know how you did that. And we did deliverance on that lady. Oh, no, I didn't want to know. It was so sickening to me. And we did deliverance on, we've done deliverance on her. And she lost a lot of weight before she left my house. Now, I never seen anyone lose weight from getting deliverance, but that lady did. She went left out of my house, she had on some slacks, and she was holding her pants up while she walked. Now, I thought, if it works like that, let me get some of that too. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Genesis in chapter 3, you know, the first time that blood was shed for a covering was when God killed animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve after they sinned. In Genesis 3, in verse 21, he says, unto Adam also and his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. So the first sacrifice for man was in the Garden of Eden when God sacrificed animals to make clothing for Adam and Eve. And so we see even from the very beginning in Genesis when man fell that God was telling man that the blood was going to be used to protect us and cover us and to wash away our sins. In the Old Testament it covered the sins. In the New, Jesus' blood washed away the sins. Okay, let's go back now. I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 10. No, 17, excuse me. Chapter 17 and verse 10. And whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. You know, I wonder if maybe this is why it's so hard sometimes for people to come to the Lord, that maybe in their background that this curse is on them where they have eaten the blood and brought the curse upon their children. And maybe we need to break the curse of the eating of the blood all the way back to the Garden of Eden. I always like to go back to the beginning to break curses instead of four generations or ten. I just say, well, Lord, I just want the curses broke from back to the Garden of Eden on both sides of the family. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, in Jesus' name, we break the curse over us all the way back to the Garden of Eden over both sides of our family right now in Jesus' name. And we ask you to take the curse off of us, and I break the power of that curse and call all those curses out of our bloodline down to our children in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Okay. In verse 10, Leviticus 17, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourn, read again. Among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul and eat that eateth blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Therefore, I said unto the children of Israel, no soul of you shall eat blood, neither shall any stranger that sojourneth among you eat blood. And whatsoever man there be of the children of Israel or the strangers that sojourn among you, which hunteth and catcheth any beast or fowl that may be eaten, he shall even pour out the blood thereof and cover it with dust. For it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Therefore I said unto the children of Israel, ye shall eat the blood of no man of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in the blood thereof. What whosoever eateth it shall be cut off. And I read that because if God put it in there so many times, we need to recognize it. We need to think about it. We need to apply it. We need to go back and break curses over our families. And I believe with all my heart that so many of the blood problems that we have come from disobeying God's word in the area of having some of our ancestors having eaten blood. Go to the doctor, and you got high blood pressure. And they say, I'm not putting this on you all, so rebuke it. They say, did your mother have high blood pressure? Or did your father have high blood pressure? And they go back and ask you if some member of your family has had high blood pressure. So, see, they recognize the fact that it comes from, they don't say curses, but they say, well, if your mother had heart trouble, or if your mother had blood problems, then that's where you got yours from. Drink water. So what we need to do is to start breaking those curses and calling them off. Listen, you can do a lot of deliverance on yourself. Did you know that? You can get in your shower or your bathtub and just sitting there and, in the name of Jesus, I call every blood curse that's on my family off all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Now, you come out of me, you have no right to me. I'm blood-bought, redeemed, paid for, sanctified, cleansed, justified by the blood of Jesus. So come out of me. And heart problems, if your mother had it, if your grandmother, or if any member of your family, you know, when I did that one on soul the other day, I was showing you that we're under a lot of things that come in from our forefathers and through the soul ties. But you can deliver yourself from all of these things. You can do it yourself. I promise you, you don't need somebody to do it for you. The only one that I know that when you need somebody to do it for you is when you get a hold of a big one, and if that thing comes over and comes up and takes you over, you can't go, well, Satan can't work against Satan. So if he's in you, you can't call him out. If he's, you know, messing with you, then take over in your mind. A spirit manifests sometimes, they take over. I still didn't fall out of the tree, y'all. I tell y'all right now. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. I praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus. I thank God for it. I thank Him every day that I'm blood bought, that I'm washed in the blood, that I'm cleansed by the blood, and that I overcome by the blood. Revelation 12 verse 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives until death. And so when the devil starts harassing you, harass him back, say, I'm a blood-bought, redeemed, overcomer devil, and you have no right to me. In the name of Jesus. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 18. back up. Let's go to verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. In the Old Testament, the blood of the animals was used to cover the sin. And Jesus, when he went to the cross, his blood was used to he took it into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. When I first heard this years ago, I was studying E.W. Kenyon's books and Hagen and everybody's I could get a hold of. And I got tapes of every one of Hagen and all of them, and I listened to it. But when I saw this, I saw it. The Lord revealed it to me about the holy place had to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I was sharing it with a doctor friend of ours. We were out eating one night, and he came over to the table where we were, and he's always like to be ugly to me. And he'd say, hey, Mildred, what's going on with you? I won't tell you something else, he said to me and yelled at me across the whole room of people. I wanted to go punch him in the nose. If I was too ladylike, I wouldn't do it. I just ignored him. And I said, come over here, Fletcher, and sit down. I want to talk to you. I said, I want to tell you something. And I said, did you know So he was, we were still in the Baptist church. I hadn't been kicked out yet. I got kicked out. And we were sitting there, and I said, let me share with you something. I just learned. And I began to tell him that the blood of Jesus had been carried into the holy place and cleansed, that God accepted it and said, it's enough. And therefore, I was justified. And I'm going to give you some scripture and go on with some of this, but I want to tell you what I said to him. I said, you know, that none of the blood of Jesus was left on this earth. It was precious. The scripture says his blood is precious. God would not leave his blood on this earth. He said, well, what did he do? Did he get a bucket and go around and pick it all up and then take it up there? He was being real ugly to me, and I thought, he's just ignorant, Lord. Let him understand. And he said, then, and he took it in the holy place with the bucket. I said, I don't know how he did it, but I know he did it. Jesus' blood was precious. And it was, what's the word I want? Recovered, brought. Do you really think that any of the blood of Jesus was left in the ground? I don't. I do not believe that any part of his blood was left. Okay, going on. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? You see, when we begin to understand about the blood, we really begin to see salvation. Here's this woman up here doing it again. I'm getting so many. I don't know about that. What? Read it for yourself and ask God to show you. Going on. Hebrews 10. Chapter 10, verse 12. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Did you see that? He said he sat down expecting his enemies to be made his footstool. Who did he expect to make those enemies his footstool? He gave us authority. He gave us the authority. In Luke 10:19, he said, Jesus said, behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. That word power, the first one is authority. He said, I've given you authority. You do it. And if you know your authority, you'll be like me. You'll get mad and you'll rap on your feet, step on your hind legs when somebody tries to tell you that you can't do that, that you're not supposed to be doing that or whatever they try to tell you. You stand up and say, no, I have authority and I know that the demons have to go when I tell them to. I know who I am in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus gave me authority. And here he said, from henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstool. Jesus defeated the devil. And he gave us the authority to put him underfoot. Walk on him. I told you yesterday, draw your line and say, you're not coming any further. In fact, you back up. I'm tired of you chasing me. Get out of my house. Get out of my family. Get out of these people. I'm telling you to go home and do it. I'm not yelling at the demons in you. I'm telling you to go home and yell at the demons. You don't have to yell at them, but I feel better when I yell because I'm so mad. I'm angry. I can be angry and sin not. And I let not the sun go down on my wrath. Because the word says I can be angry. But I want you to know God is wanting us to get up and tell the devil where to go. Amen. And stop sitting down and letting waiting for somebody else to do it for you. Say, you get out of my house. Get out of my kids. You had enough? Are we going to sit and let him walk over us until Jesus comes? No, we're not. No. Oh, golly, people, if you just get up and go home and stop binding and loosening and casting out and tearing down and sending the word. He sent his word to heal them from their diseases and to deliver them from their destruction. He sent Jesus. He sent the word. And he said his word would not return void, but would accomplish word. He sent it whenever he pleases. It's his word. And he watches over his word to perform it. It's his word. He watches it. And if we believe it, if we'll stand up on it and say, I know it's working. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the word of God. And when we begin to do that, we'll see things happen. But they're not going to go by, and they're not. That's not going to work by wishing it would. It's getting up. If you have to, do like I did. I broke my foot. If I put this down, I may not be able to get it up. I'll put it here and you can pick it up. And I was determined that it was going to be healed. I said, devil, I'm standing on the word of God. And I literally put my Bible on the floor. And I said, the word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Well, the pain got worse. So then I picked it up. Jim tried to help me, and I wouldn't let him. I said, don't touch me. I said, give me my Bible. And I began to walk. And I said, well, whatever I did, I moved. Jesus. And I just kept walking. I walked for 2 hours. And at 2 hours, I said, I'm going to run in a tub of bath water and I'm going to take a bath. And I got in the tub of hot water, climbed out of there, and my foot was totally healed. You see, if you have to stand on it by putting it on the floor, do it. God don't mind. You do that as an act of your faith. Oh, we're standing on the word because we know the word. But see, this was early in this walk for me. I fell and broke my foot. I got tripped and broke it. And God healed it. He said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. God, Lord Jesus, has done all he's going to do for you and I. He's seated at the right hand of the Father interceding. But as far as doing the work for us, he's already done it. I hear people say, oh, Lord, do this, do that. He said, I've given you authority. You do it. And he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he said, from henceforth expect until his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. We washed in the blood, we're cleansed, we're sanctified, justified, redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know how it comes? Go to John 6. I heard Brother George talk ahead on this the other day. Give you another dose of it. I need it, whether y'all do or not. You know, I don't ever preach anything, and I don't ever point a finger. I point my finger. I got three of them coming back at me. And I'm talking to me. And every time I preach the word and every time I go over this, I get more than you do. It feeds my faith. In John, in the 6th chapter, in verse, you see what verse I want. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. 51. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give him is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And then in verse 66, he says, the scripture says, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And I find a lot of people, when you go to telling them their authority and that the devil, you know, is defeated and you can take authority, they begin to back away and say, I don't want to do that. They go and walk no more with him. He said, then said Jesus unto them, unto the 12, will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen 12, and one of you is a devil? And he spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Jesus told them, you can walk and do the things that I'm doing if you will partake of me. Eat his word. Let it become your necessary food. If you went to the doctor, if you were sick and you went to the doctor, and he gave you a prescription of medicine, and he told you to take it every 4 hours, or three times a day, or four times a day, however he wanted to, you would do it. You would. Listen, I've been there, and I know that there was the time I would set my clock to wake me up to be sure I took it. Well, Why don't we do this bread of life that way, the Word? Why don't we eat it regularly? You know, I can't get along on just one little verse a day. I've got to have my necessary food. Don't you have to have your necessary food? When you begin to get in doubt, get your book and read it. Get your hymn book. It talks about Him. And read it. We sing out of this hymn book in our church a lot. It's a good way to get the Word in your spirit. And eat it and drink it and let it feed you. Let it become your life. Let it manifest in you and be real. You know what will happen? Let me give you a scripture over in Acts 28. You know about Paul. All of y'all know about Paul. You remember in Acts 28, well, it is here somewhere in my Bible, in verse... My husband bought me a new Bible where the pages hadn't been broken in, so I have to. These are all stuck together, and it's old. In Acts 28, when Paul was on the when he was shipwrecking on that island of Malta, and the barbarous verse one, and he said, and the verse two said, the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us everyone because of the present rains. And because of the cold, but when Paul and when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook the beast off into the fire and felt no harm. And howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked away a while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their mind and said he was a god. He shook that snake off.
Amen.
And there's no harm. You know why? He was walking in the Word and believing the Lord. Now, the spiritual side, I've heard people do this spiritually. When the fire's turned up, the heat turns up, the serpent comes out, and the serpent represents the devil. But I want you to look at it the way it's written and see that Paul did not suffer. He just shook that thing off. He should have died. My son got bit by a snake. Our youngest son, he was cutting his grass and doing a dumb thing. He did it barefooted. And he lives out in Shelby Forest, and that's a state park. He lives on the edge of it, and there's a lot of rattlesnakes and I don't know what all out there. And I don't like it myself, but anyways, he was cutting his grass, and this snake bit his toe. And I don't remember the type of snake it was. I don't know what he's doing up. But his foot began to swell, and it turned red. He called us. He said, "Mother, the man that bit me, I started rebuking." I said, "No, you don't." And he said, "I command you this to go to leave in the name of Jesus." And he said, "But I've got red streaks up my leg." And the mother in me wanted to say, "Hey, go to the doctor. I can stand for myself. But when one of my kids or my grandkids are in trouble, that's the first thing I say, go to the doctor." But I didn't say it because he worked in the hospital. He knew how to go to the doctor. And I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" He said, "We're praying. We just want you to stand in agreement with us." It was on Sunday afternoon. She hadn't been cutting his grass to start with. See? He opened the door. He was cutting his grass on Sunday afternoon. Came to church that night. Told us, he said, "Well, Mother," he said, "my foot's okay." And he pushed you off and looked. When the sign, all of it had gone. I just told him to loose the poison out of it. And it did. And see, Paul just shook that poison snake off. He was full of the Word. That's what God wants us to be. God wants us to walk so in the Word and covered with the blood of Jesus and to know our authority that when the devil comes knocks on our door, we don't let him in. We tell him to go on down the road. You know, he knocks on the door. They tell you there's going to be flu and there's going to be this and it's going to be that. They prepare you for it and they tell you go get your shots, you get ready for it. And they prepare you to get it. And if you go and prepare, you're expecting it. Me, I just say, "No, you're not talking about me." You know, I don't believe it. So when he knocks on my door, I say, "Hey, there may be somebody down the road looking for you, but you're not coming to my house. Because I know the Word says that by the stripes of Jesus, we're healed." Don't get in agreement with what the TV says. Turn the dumb thing off. It's all bad news. And they're always trying to put something on you. Because the only reason they want to put it on you is so they can sell. How did I get over in there? I'm supposed to be on the blood of Jesus. Let's go back to... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I tell you, you know, I can't help but always throw something in like in the healing because God's healed me. I had 13 major operations before I knew about healing and about the Word. Jim was sharing something the other night about this sickness that I used to believe in it. You got to believe in it to have it. And he said the doctor wanted to put a zipper in me because he was always having to do surgery. And after the Lord filled me with the Spirit, well, I might as well go ahead. I'm supposed to be on the blood of Jesus, but I'll share this. Jim got the healing bug. I mean, he really got it. He wanted to heal everybody. After the Lord lengthened his leg, he was, you know, he believed in me. I was taking medicine. I had pills that the doctor told me I'd been on all my life. Had headaches all the time. And I get so mad at him, I really could. Hey, we'd go in the Baptist church and people ran from him. He would be walking down the hall and they'd dart in the Sunday school rooms to get away from him. He'd say, God heal you. God heal you. He healed me. Look what he did to me. They weren't pleased that God lengthened that leg. And I said, Jim, would you shut up? He said, I can't. Because the reason I won't even shut up, I was taking medicine and I didn't want to hear it. That's the truth. People get mad at me when I share this and say, well, if they, I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you there's a better way. Because I found it. Well, I had headaches all the time. I ate aspirin. We didn't buy aspirin by the box. We bought the biggest bottle you could find. And they set up in my closet cabinet. And I'd go get them and I'd take a handful of them. I had headaches all the time. I was expecting them, so I bought aspirin to get rid of them. And I was in there one day and I opened the cabinet door and I reached up and I got the bottle and I heard the voice of the Lord. Now I know some of you don't believe God talks to you, but He does talk to you if you listen. Mm-hmm. He said to me, what are you doing with that? And I said, Lord, I got a headache. I knew the Lord knew. But I was talking to Him. He asked me, he said to me, you know they're not going to do you any good. He was right. Now, I had a migraine headache. And so I thought, well, yeah, I know, but what am I supposed to do, Lord? And so I stuffed the bottle back up in and I closed the door. And I went back into the den where I had been. I was lying on the couch. And my head hurt so bad that when Jim walked across the floor, I wanted to scream. And he went into the kitchen to eat his dinner. And I was lying there. And I thought, I am going to have a stroke. It's got to be. Nobody's head can feel like this. Of course, the devil, some demon was talking to me. I realize that now. And I said, Lord. And I just said, Lord. And then all of a sudden, I started laughing. I said, you know, this is really funny, Lord. Because if I have a stroke and die, I'll be with you in a little bit. And I just sit there and laugh. And I want you to know that headache went. It left. And I want you to know, I've never had a migraine headache since then. It's the truth. You see, we have not because we don't work on it. But sometimes it's not real easy. Anyway, praise the Lord. Let's go back over to Matthew chapter 27, back to the blood of Jesus. I guess I was, when the Lord began to talk to me about the healing, He took the medicine one at a time away from me. One at a time. He taught me how to walk in it one step at a time. He didn't tell me go flush it down the commode. He just asked me what I was taking it for. And we don't have medicine in our house. Not even aspirin. If any of my grandkids come and they got a pain, the mother or father will say, we need some cough medicine, mother. I'll go buy some. I don't have any. The kids got fever. Well, let's pray over them. So we pray over them. But anyway, praise the Lord. Matthew 27, verse 50. You remember when Jesus rose from the dead and the graves were open and the bodies rose from the grave. In verse 50, it said, Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the grave after his resurrection, went to the city and appeared to many. After Jesus died upon the cross and the graves were open, the scripture doesn't tell us what happened to them, but you know, in Acts 1, it tells us that when ascended after when he ascended in verse chapter 1 verse I think it's 8 or 9, it said that there's a cloud. He ascended in a cloud, and I was wondering if I mean, the Bible didn't tell us, as far as I know, that those were those people that rose from the, came out of the grave. It doesn't tell us what happened to them. But we know that when he comes back, he's coming back in a cloud. My point, what reason I brought this up, my point is, was there a pause in the resurrection when Jesus died? And then I'm gonna share this because I want to get into. I'm just gonna talk it because if I read the scriptures, I won't have time. But his first appearance on the first day of the week, when Mary Magdalene and the women went to the tomb, Jesus said to them, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." They reached out for him. They wanted to touch him. He had not yet gone into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to put this out. You do with it. You ask the Lord about it. You search the scriptures and you see what the Lord says to you. I started out by saying that I did not believe that any of the blood, the precious blood of Jesus, was left on this earth because of the Revelation that talks about it too. But anyways, why could they not touch him? Was because he had not gone into the Holy of Holies with the blood yet. Over in Matthew, another scripture, let me see what it is. When he appeared to the disciples, he said, they touched him, remember? Handle me. They held him by his feet, Matthew 28:9-10, if you want to. I'm not going to read it, and I'll give it to you. He said to them, the scripture says that they touched him, they handled his hands and held him by his feet. In John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 11 through 17, when the women came to the tomb, he told the women not to touch him. So between the time that he appeared to the women and the time he came and appeared to the men, there was some time elapsed, and he went into the hole. Didn't I read over in Hebrews that the blood once for all was carried into the holy place? I'm reading that. Now, y'all think about it. Let it sink in. He had already been and carried the blood in when he appeared to the disciples. He came back and said, "Handle me." He was in his resurrected body. The blood had not been carried into the holy place. This is what I had begun to see as I was digging into this, that there had to be a reason that he said, as he said, that he had not yet gone to the Father. And so when, what you got?
You didn't use Hebrews 9:22-23 when you were there before. "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with a better sacrifice than these." And he'd already said just earlier that that was the blood, his precious blood.
I had it. I missed it. That was the one I was going to in Hebrews. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. So the blood had to be carried in to the holy place. Do you think that when during the fall, that even the holy of holies, the holy place, was polluted? I don't know, but I just know that the blood had to be carried into the holy place. It had to be received. God saw it and said, "It's enough. It's done." I'll throw that out. Y'all dig into it and see what God says to you. Now, what I want to show you some things about is the blood was when Jesus wore the crown. When the crown was put upon his head in Matthew 27, verse 29, says, "And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him." The crown of thorns on Jesus' head, they weren't little tiny thorns. They were big thorns. And it doesn't matter if they were little thorns. If you cut yourself, you bleed a lot on the face. Blood came down his face. And that blood was shed for you and I. And I firmly believe because of that crown of thorns upon the head of Jesus that we don't need to have trouble with our minds. We put on the helmet of salvation. Jesus' blood was shed when we, and the helmet of salvation covers our head. And I believe that everything, every wound in the body of Jesus was for a reason. And I believe that it was for the healing of the mind. I believe that it was for the cleansing of our thoughts. Apply it. It has to be applied. You can't receive salvation. You don't get saved unless you receive it. You get nothing from God unless you receive it. So we have to receive and apply what the Word says. Cover your head with the blood. Ask the Father to cover your head with the blood of Jesus. When your thoughts are giving, you're having trouble with your thoughts. You can't, if you're having trouble casting them down, ask the Father to cover your head, then put on the helmet of salvation. I've heard Brother George preach this week on the whole armor of God. Man, when we get that whole armor on, the devil thinks we're Jesus until we open our mouth. Truth. When you open your mouth, if the wrong things come out, he knows you're not Jesus. But every part of that armor, and every part of what, everything that happened to Jesus was for a reason. And then in John 19 and verse 1, now let me put y'all asleep. John 19 verse 1, then Pilate took him and took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers pled the crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Now, every one of you in here know the scripture in Isaiah 53:5. Whatever, I think it's 5, that says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The stripes on his back, when they beat him, they didn't just lightly touch him. Isaiah 52 says that he, when they got through with him, it's a scripture, I forgot what verse it is, it says that he scarcely looked like a man. And when they used that whip on him, they literally tore strips off of his back. And let me tell you, if we can ever appropriate that and comprehend it, that he did it for us, that by those stripes we are healed, 39 stripes, that should cover every disease in the world. God wants his people well. He doesn't want us sick. Jesus didn't shed his blood so that we had to support doctors. They rob us of our money and our time, and our the devil gets you sick looking inward and keep you sick, and you're good for nobody. You know, sickness is of the devil simply because that it robs the family of the mother or the father. If it's the father, it's the income. If it's the mother, it's she can't take care of her kids. If it's the kids, children sick, then the mother's tied up with one child while the rest of the children have no mother, so to speak. But the devil uses that. And so we need to start applying that blood and appropriating the blood from the stripes and the wounds on Jesus' back for our healing.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.